All right, the Bible reading today is Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 to 22. Jesus calls his first disciples. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. This is the word of the Lord. Amen.
I haven't heard that song in so long. It's so good. I just want to jam out to it now. So I made a decision to follow Jesus when I was 6 years old. I was visiting my cousins in California, and my cousin Danielle, who I always looked up to, asked me if I had ever asked Jesus to come into my heart. I'd heard about Jesus. I had been going to church forever since I was a baby, but I hadn't yet given my heart to Jesus. And so at the ripe old age of 6, I made a decision to follow Jesus. I had no idea what I was signing up for. I got baptized when I was 10. I was at a Christian music festival called Cornerstone, and I heard a pastor preach about how baptism was what people who wanted to follow Jesus did to publicly signify their intention to be a follower of Jesus. I hadn't done that yet, so it seemed pretty straightforward. I want to follow Jesus. I need to get baptized. So in a cold lake in eastern Illinois, I got baptized. I had no idea what I was signing up for. By the time I was in middle school, I knew I wanted to go into ministry. I had heard some missionaries speak at my home church, and something stirred in my heart. I went on mission trips to Puerto Rico and Venezuela and England and South Africa in middle and high school, and I felt sure God was calling me into ministry. I had no idea what I was signing up for. Listen, I could tell you story after story of times in my life when I knew God was calling me. Experiences where God was making clear his desires for my life, and I've never once fully understood what I was signing up for. I just knew that if God wanted me to do something, that's what I wanted to do. That's how my family ended up here in Massachusetts 3 summers ago. I had no idea what I was signing up for when I said yes to becoming your pastor, but I knew God was in it, and so I said yes. This past year, we have been journeying through the book of Matthew together. We started right in the first chapter with Jesus' genealogy, and we worked our way through the birth stories, the calling of the first disciples. We read about his teaching and his healing and his confrontations with the religious and political authorities. We read about their death at their hands. We read about his resurrection. We read about him sending the disciples out into the world in the last chapter of Matthew. And we have been saying all year that Matthew has two goals. Matthew wants his readers to believe that Jesus is the long-awaited Messiah who has come to usher in a new kingdom where God reigns. And two, Matthew wants to show us what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. He wants to show us how to follow Jesus. So over the next 3 Sundays, we're going to kind of just sum up some important lessons in what we call discipleship. Important lessons we learn from Matthew and elsewhere in the New Testament about what it is we're signing up for when we say yes to Jesus. We've used a definition of what it means to be a disciple through the past year as a way of just clarifying what we mean about what it means to be a disciple. When we say we're a disciple, what do we mean by that? We've said that a disciple is someone who's following Jesus, is being changed by Jesus, and is committed to the mission of Jesus, right? Let's say that together. Let's get it in our heads again. A disciple of Jesus is someone who is following Jesus, is being changed by Jesus, and is committed to the mission of Jesus. So today, I want to just synthesize some of what we've said in the past year and give us an opportunity as a community to decide, what do we want? What do we want? As we consider what it means to follow Jesus, let's be honest together. Do we want to follow Jesus? Without knowing all of what it will require of us, without knowing for sure what we're signing up for, do we want to be followers of Jesus? We're going to look at the life of Peter. for an example of what it means to follow Jesus, to be changed by Jesus, and to be committed to the mission of Jesus. Our text today that Brian just read for us revisits the moment that Peter first decided to follow Jesus. Other gospel writers, the books of Mark, Luke, and John, fill us in on some more details. They tell us that it was actually Peter's brother Andrew who first saw Jesus and knew who Jesus was, knew he wanted to follow him. We read in Luke that in this story, when Peter decided to follow Jesus, that what happened was it was after this long night of fruitless fishing. Peter was a fisherman, but the nets were empty. They hadn't caught very many fish. And then along came Jesus and told them to try putting their nets out on the other side of the boat. Oh, why didn't we think of that? But when they did what Jesus suggested. Their nets were so full that they started to break. And so after hearing what Jesus had to say, probably after listening to what his brother Andrew said about Jesus, after getting to know Jesus, after this tiny glimpse of the power of Jesus, Peter left everything to follow Jesus. But my goodness, he had no idea what he was signing up for. He just knew that wherever this Jesus guy was going, he wanted to follow. There was just something about him. As we've journeyed through the book of Matthew, we've seen that none of the disciples, none of Jesus' 12 closest friends had any idea what they were saying yes to. They didn't know the details of what following Jesus would entail. They didn't know that Jesus had come to die, not to take back the throne from Rome. But they knew there was just something about Jesus. They knew they wanted more of what he had to offer. In the book of John, Jesus preaches a particularly challenging message. And after that, a lot of people stopped following him. And so Jesus turned to the disciples and asked them if they too were going to desert him. And we read in John 6:68, Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Who else are we going to go to? Where else will we find what we've found with Jesus? They didn't get everything Jesus was saying, but they knew Jesus had the words of life. In other words, what Jesus said gave them life in a way nothing else in the world did. Jesus promises his vision of the way the world is supposed to be. It sparked something alive in them that nothing else ever had. And so regardless of how it would all turn out, they wanted to stay with Jesus. And that's been my journey with Jesus too. As I've said, pretty much every time Jesus has called me somewhere or led me to a next step, I've never really known how it would turn out. But I know that with Jesus is life. With Jesus is peace. With Jesus is love. With Jesus is purpose. So wherever Jesus is, it's where I want to be. And if you haven't decided to follow Jesus yet, if you're still kind of checking out this Jesus thing, that's what I'm hoping you discover. I'm hoping that you discover that with Jesus is life. There are a lot of questions we have as we follow Jesus. And sometimes the church, just like the disciples, misses the point. But I hope that you discover Jesus. Because when we see Jesus, there is just something about him. We just want to be with him, no matter what. And at its core, that is what Matthew has been telling us about what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. To follow Jesus means that no matter what life brings our way, no matter how hard or easy things are, we find ourselves pulled to Jesus. We want to follow him. Like waves to the shore, our hearts are drawn to the person who we know has life for us. So to be a disciple of Jesus is to follow Jesus. The second part of being a disciple of Jesus is, we've said, to be changed by Jesus. The Apostle Peter is a great example of this. In Matthew, we meet Peter at the beginning of his time following Jesus. We meet the Peter who, yes, boldly walks on water. The Peter who was the first disciple to say that Jesus was the Messiah. We also meet the Peter who told Jesus to stop talking about how he would die because it's bad for business. The Peter who declares passionately that he would never desert Jesus and within hours denies that he even knows him. Peter has both beautiful and problematic qualities. He's fearless until he's a coward. He's bold until he's terrified. He looks before he leaps. He speaks without thinking. He has rough edges. And then we have the books of 1st and 2nd Peter. This is Peter writing years later. Peter who has grown up as a follower of Jesus. Peter who has matured. Peter who has been softened by years of hardship and difficulty and testing and perseverance. The same Peter who brashly cut off someone's ear in the Garden of Gethsemane writes these words in 1 Peter. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Same Peter. The same Peter who told Jesus to stop talking about his suffering and death because it was bad for his image says this. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Same Peter. The same Peter who was impatient, the Peter who rushed in headfirst without thinking, wrote these words in 2 Peter. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Same Peter. Peter's time following Jesus has changed him. He is not the same person he used to be. And that's the point. To be a disciple of Jesus means to follow Jesus and to be changed by Jesus so that we're not the same person we used to be. To be a disciple of Jesus means to acknowledge that we have room to grow. The Bible calls that room to grow, that difference between God's intention and our current reality, sin. We've said sin just means missing the mark. When we follow Jesus, we are invited to live with a humility about ourselves that acknowledges that we miss the mark. We sometimes miss the mark of loving God. We sometimes miss the mark of loving others as ourselves. And if we want to be a disciple of Jesus, that means that we submit ourselves to Jesus and his work in us to help us stop missing the mark. To follow Jesus means to show up at our coaching sessions with Jesus so he can help us get better at hitting the target. We spend time reading the Bible. We ask Jesus to show us how to live according to how he wants the world to be. We show up in relationships with humility because we know we have room to grow in how we love others. So it doesn't surprise us or make us defensive when someone tells us, hey, you kind of missed the mark here. We look at Jesus' example and we confess when we fail to love like he does. And when we learn that we've been missing the mark, whether because someone else tells us or the Holy Spirit convicts us, when we become aware that we've missed the mark, followers of Jesus change course. We get honest. We confess it. We make amends. We try to repair the harm we did when we missed the mark. And then we put in the work to become different. By God's grace, I am not who I used to be. But I'm not yet who I will be. God keeps changing me. I've kept journals since middle school. And when I look back on who I was then, I see so much arrogance. I grew up in a Christian sphere that really valued the idea of certainty. Certainty, yes, of course, about salvation, but also certainty about the right way to interpret the Bible, certainty about the right politics, certainty about science. My world was very black and white. There were two ways to read the Bible and follow God. The right way, which happened to be how my church did things, and the wrong way, which happened to be the way every other single denomination did things. I am ashamed to say that I grew up praying for my Lutheran and Catholic and Methodist friends because I was convinced they were going to hell. I cringe when I look back at how arrogant I was. And I am so thankful that Jesus has taken me on a long, slow journey of humility. A journey of learning that there are thoughtful followers of Jesus in every denomination, every ethnic expression of the church, in every country of believers all over the world. And more than just simply accepting that those other ways of thinking and seeing God aren't wrong, I learned that, in fact, I need other perspectives. I've come to acknowledge that when I only listen to people who see faith like I do, who see God like I do, then my picture of God actually shrinks from the reality of who God is. I have come to learn that I need other people to help me see more of who God is, understand more of what God cares about. What a gift it has been to me to submit to Jesus changing me, transforming my arrogance into curiosity and humility. What a better way to live. But I had to submit to the transformation Jesus wanted to do in me. To be a disciple of Jesus means submitting yourself to this work, submitting ourselves to Jesus changing us. It means that to say whatever he wants you to be, you'll be. To commit to saying yes to him when he lovingly points out a rough edge in your life that he wants to smooth. That's what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. The disciples of Jesus follow Jesus. Disciples of Jesus are changed by Jesus, and disciples of Jesus are committed to the mission of Jesus. When we meet Peter in Matthew, he's curious about Jesus. He sees that Jesus has something he hasn't seen anywhere else in the world. But Peter's also committed to his understanding of what the Messiah is supposed to do. The Messiah is supposed to overthrow Rome, cleanse the temple, and reestablish Israel as a world power. That was Peter's understanding. And that's why in Matthew 16, when Jesus first told his disciples he would die, Peter pushed back. We read in Matthew 16, Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said, "this shall never happen to you." And Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Peter did not yet understand what Jesus' real mission was. He did not yet understand that Jesus was after more than just a throne in Jerusalem. Peter was still committed to his understanding of God's mission. And in Peter's understanding of God's mission, Israel was the most important country in the world, and the Messiah had come mainly for the benefit of Israel. But Peter changed course, didn't he? Peter watched Jesus be arrested and beaten and crucified. Peter failed dramatically, denying that he even knew Jesus. And Peter saw Jesus rise from the grave. And then Peter experienced Jesus restoring him, forgiving him, inviting him to still be a part of helping people find their way back to God. And then on Pentecost, the Holy Spirit landed on Peter. And the Peter we see through the rest of the New Testament is on a different mission than simply restoring glory for the people of Israel. In Acts 2, we see Peter filled with the Holy Spirit delivering the first Pentecost sermon. He tells the crowd about Jesus who lived and died and was raised to life. He tells the crowd, this Jesus, he is the Messiah. He is the one we've been waiting for. And we see Peter get it. Instead of running after worldly power and glory, Peter knows that God wants to bring people back into relationship with him. God wants to restore the whole world. That is God's mission. And Peter gets it. In verse 38, Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Peter gets it. God loves all of humanity. God wants everyone to be brought back to him. And the New Testament tells us that for the rest of Peter's life, that's what he spent his time on, telling anyone who would listen that Jesus was the real deal and in him was light and life. Telling anyone who would listen, no matter what you've done, God wants you. He wants to know you. He wants you to know him. He sent Jesus to prove it. The same Peter who used to want power and authority and glory and honor now spends the rest of his life in humility, pointing people to Jesus and telling them the good news that in Christ, God has come near. In Christ, God is ushering in a new kingdom. To be a disciple of Jesus means that we get that our primary job in life is not to be an accountant or a mom or a dad or a nurse or an engineer. Our primary job in life is to be an ambassador for Christ everywhere we go. To tell everyone who will listen that Jesus loves them. To spend our energies demonstrating with our actions what the kingdom of God looks like. To pour ourselves living out the prayer of Jesus that God's will would be done here on earth as it is in heaven. We give up our own visions and dreams for our life and we surrender to the mission of Jesus to help people find their way back to God. That is what it means to be a follower of Jesus, to be a disciple of Jesus, to follow him, to be changed by him, and to commit ourselves to his mission. So Harbor, is that what you want? Do you want to be a disciple of Jesus? Have you figured out that you cannot find what you're looking for anywhere but in Jesus? Have you experienced that no amount of wealth or popularity or relationships or substances, none of that will ever fill the hole in your heart that only Jesus can fill? Listen, if you haven't yet experienced that reality, ask Jesus to show you. He wants you to know. Spend time reading the Bible through the first four books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're four different accounts of the life of Jesus, four different ways of explaining who Jesus was and what he was like and what he is like. Ask him to show you what he's like. And listen, if you don't have a Bible of your own, we have some on the table in the back and there's some at the welcome table. Take one. They're our gift to you. Read the Bible, learn about who Jesus is, and see how he might show you that in him is everything you've been looking for. Maybe you've made the decision to follow Jesus. You know that he's better than everything else this world has to offer, but have you submitted to his right to change you? Have you acknowledged that part of following Jesus is being changed by him? Or when people try to approach you about your rough edges, do you blow them off with phrases like, that's just who I am? If you want to follow Jesus, he wants to make you more like him. If you want to be a Christian, a disciple of Jesus, part of the deal is opening up your heart to him and agreeing that when Jesus points out something in your life that's missing the mark, either through the Holy Spirit's conviction or the words of someone else, that you'll make a change. And if you don't have a regular practice of sort of putting yourself in front of Jesus so that he can do this work, an easy way to start is to read some portion of the Bible, like our passage today, and ask a few questions about the passage. What does this passage tell me about God and what God wants? What does it tell me about the way God says the world is supposed to be? And then second, what does this passage tell me about people? What do I see about the way people tend to act? And three, what does it mean for me? What am I doing well, and where do I need to change? This is the Discovery Bible Study method that a lot of our journey groups are using. It doesn't have to be complicated. You have the Holy Spirit. If you want to follow Jesus, you get the gift of the Holy Spirit, like Peter said. And the Holy Spirit wants to communicate to you through the Word of God, the living and active Word of God. It doesn't have to be complicated. Read the Bible, sit with these questions, and see what God brings up in your heart. Finally, are you committed to Jesus' mission? What is actually most important to you? Is it helping people find their way back to God? Or is it really money or relationships or our kids' success? If you're not sure what's really most important to you, take a look at how you spend your time. Take a look how you spend your money. Observe the thoughts that kind of run through your head all day. What are you spending your time doing and paying for and thinking about? If you want to follow Jesus, the main purpose of your life is to help people find their way back to him. That is why you exist. I'm standing here before you this morning because my cousin at 10 years old understood the assignment. She understood. She knew her job was to help people find their way back to God, and she didn't waste any time making sure I was in a relationship with him. Harbor, the world needs us to be clear on our assignment. The world needs disciples of Jesus who know that Jesus is the only place to find life. The world needs disciples of Jesus who are humble enough to admit it when we miss the mark and let Jesus change us. The world needs disciples of Jesus who will exhaust themselves bringing the light of heaven into a world marred with darkness and despair. This is our calling. And so today I want to ask, is that what you want to sign up for? What do you mean when you say you're a Christian? Because this is what Jesus says it means to be a Christian. It means to follow him, to be changed by him, and to be committed to his mission. Every week here at Harbor, we have this ritual, this thing we do. We take communion. And when we take communion, we turn our eyes towards Christ's example. We see how Jesus did the Father's will, even when it cost him. We see how he gave of himself, how he gave us glimpses of what heaven is supposed to be like as he healed people and noticed people and invited in the outsiders. And when we take communion, that's our way of saying, we want in on all that. We want in on what Jesus offers. We want the life, the joy, the peace, the forgiveness, the wholeness, the hope. And we're saying we want in on being made like him. We want to be shaped into more compassionate people, more selfless people, more humble people, more servant-hearted people, more mission-minded people. And we want in on restoring the world to the way God originally intended it, where everyone knows God and loves God, where all creation flourishes, where all people flourish, where there is no pain, no fear, no sadness. So if that's what you want this morning, I'm going to pray, and I invite you to come up and take communion. Come and see how good Jesus is. Come and receive his forgiveness and grace. Come and join his mission to change the world. Let's pray. Jesus, what a weighty thing it is to choose to be your disciple, to choose to follow you, to choose to submit ourselves to you, to change us and make us more like you, to choose to say that our mission is not whatever our own hopes and dreams are, but our mission is about your kingdom. It's about making this world look more like God's world is supposed to be. God, sometimes we take it for granted. We forget what a weighty thing it is to be your people. How beautiful it is, how life-giving it is, how purposeful it is to be your person, to be your people, to join you on your incredible mission. So Lord, will you help us as a community? If we haven't seen who you are, show us who you are. If there's some here that don't know how good you are, what life is found in you, Jesus, will you show them? Help us follow you closely. Change us so that we look more like you. And help us keep our eyes on the goal. In your beautiful name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.